Well, kids, I want to start today talking about fears. I'm going to have everybody help us out because people have different fears at different ages. So I'm not asking you to confess your fears, but let's just brainstorm some fears that people have across the ages.
What snakes.
Snakes? Okay. What else? What was that?
Heights.
Claustrophobia, so fear of enclosed spaces.
Rejection.
Fear of rejection. Ooh, she's going deep now. Tony, do you have any fears you can think that kids have? Spiders, and what was that last one? Shots. Mm-hmm, yeah. There's a lot of fears. We could probably list many, many fears. So here's the question, which is bigger? Are you ready, Tony? Which is bigger, God or the things we're afraid of?
God.
That's basically the whole message for today. No matter how awful or scary things look, no matter how big they are, God is bigger. Now, I don't know if many of you are familiar with VeggieTales. Some of you are. I don't know, Tony, have you ever seen VeggieTales? I think those of us that were teaching Sunday school maybe taught VeggieTales. It's a cartoon of vegetables that tell Bible stories. You don't have to know it, but there is a song in it that I want you to learn.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, it's actually quite good. I mean, for a cartoon about vegetables. Okay, so I have the lyrics on. Let's see, go one more. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching over you and me. That's the chorus. That's really the best part of the song. Play that more regularly.
Absolutely.
Okay, so remember that's the lesson in a nutshell. God is bigger than anything we're afraid of or that we worry about, and we're gonna be okay. Even when we get hurt, we'll still be okay. Even when we die, God goes with us, we'll still be okay. We all face scary stuff. Life is hard. Compared to the times of Jesus, we are living in absolute luxury, especially those of us who have homes, food, clothes, family, total luxury. Extreme poverty was the average person's life experience. Life expectancies were short. Diseases were common. As you can imagine, this was before we knew about germs and food safety and viruses. Living under Roman occupation was brutal, and society was built on a system of servitude. Everyone was indebted to somebody else. So you had this structure. Everyone had someone they called Lord or Master. Now, the Romans collected taxes. We've talked about this a lot. And there was a level of corruption there that was astonishing, and it kept people impoverished. Religious authorities of the temple added challenges to life with the rules and regulations that often kept the average person from being able to participate fully in community life, in temple life. And that is the world that Jesus was born into. He spoke to these people who were desperate, who were destitute, had no hope, people who were sick and hungry all the time, people who had experienced great, great losses, people who needed salvation. Not later in the afterlife, but now. On his way to his last days in Jerusalem, Jesus was giving many lessons. And today's scripture is part of that last little bit of teaching. And it comes right after the story where he notes that this widow who put in the smallest coin had given more than the people who were wealthy. Right after that, people start talking about the grandeur of the temple. And they're in awe of the stones and the beauty and the power. And the temple itself was built by Herod, who wanted to project power. But Herod himself was insecure and unstable as a ruler. And Jesus responds to these admirations of the temple. And Luke writes it in the form of apocalyptic literature. It's a style of writing that is supposed to reveal some sort of truth. Apocalypse means revealing. Now, often these texts are scary because they use a lot of imagery of destruction. Many times they're not to be taken literally. However, Luke writes about Jesus's warning of the destruction of the temple after the temple has been destroyed. So Luke is writing knowing that what Jesus was saying came true. And Jesus knew this would happen, was warning people not to get too freaked out about it. And then he also addresses kind of end time worries. And people at the time of Luke was writing were definitely proclaiming, this is the end of times. Our temple has been destroyed. Jesus warns them not to listen to those people. So we're going to hear that story in the Bible. And then in a little bit, I'm going to read a more lighthearted story that has a similar theme. So here now, Luke 21, 5 through 19. Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, as for the things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished. They asked him, Teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen? Jesus said, Watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name saying, I'm the one, and it's time. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately. Then Jesus said to them, Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There will be great earthquakes and wide-scale food shortages and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds, not to prepare your defense in advance. I'll give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will execute some of you. Everyone will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your heads will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm guessing that every one of us has likely run into someone in recent years or past years that is convinced we're living in the end times. These are the last days. That the troubles we see today are indicating that there's going to be a total destruction of the world, the return of Jesus is coming, and for some strains of Christianity, that is imminent. I went to a church once I should say I visited, because I didn't go back. I visited once, and their sign advertising the adult Sunday school for after church had its only focus, its whole focus, every Sunday on reviewing current events and looking for the signs of the end times.
Oh, boy.
That was their whole focus. People in Jesus' time expected this. Their temple was destroyed. Jesus was killed. How is this not the end of times? And here we are, 2,000 years later. And what did Jesus tell them? Many will come in my name saying, I'm the one, and it's time. Don't follow them. He tells his followers, don't be deceived. Now again, I will remind you that by the time Luke writes these warnings about the temple is already destroyed. Rome took it down in 70 AD, so about 40 years after Jesus' death. The enormity of that loss for the Jewish faith can't be understated. They believed God dwelled in the middle of that temple. That was God's place on earth for them. How could God allow that building to be destroyed? How could that happen to God's chosen people? So certainly, if you're prone to thinking that the world would end in destruction, these signs would make you think it's imminent. Jesus tells them they will hear people talking about that, pointing to that as evidence, proclaiming it's time and it won't be true. Yes, things will end. Your life even will end. Your religious temple will be destroyed. Wars will happen. You'll be arrested and persecuted. But it will be okay. Not great. He knows life is harsh, and they'll experience pain and illness and death, and some literally will be arrested and persecuted, made to be martyrs. But even then, if they get captured, he says, the worst situation you can imagine, that's going to be an opportunity for you to testify. And don't worry, I'm with you. I'll give you the words. In this passage, like others that speak of end times, the apocalyptic passages we call them, there's always that end reassurance that God is with us, and therefore we'll be okay. Whether these are disasters in our personal lives, or in the lives that affect a country, or that affect the whole world, there's going to be sickness and strife and disasters. But God will be with us. They and we will be okay. Life will always have hard things, scary things. The world will always have disastrous things. And God will be with us. It'll be okay. Don't follow those who point and say, it's the end. Don't be deceived. And I would say, don't give your fears more energy than you give to God in thanks for this beautiful life and this beautiful creation. I don't know how to say that anymore. But I do want to read you a book. It's been a while. The book I want to read to you is called It Will Be Okay by Lisa Terkerst. Illustrated by Natalia Moore. In a dusty shed on a rickety shelf, hidden in a cozy packet, lived a tiny seed. Day after day, little seed watched as the farmer came into the shed. The farmer's strong hand would reach into the packet, and he would say, I have a good plan for you, each time he selected a seed. Little seed knew the farmer was good and kind, but he did not want to leave his home. Little seed liked living inside the cozy packet on the rickety shelf in the farmer's dusty shed. He did not want to go. In the nearby woods, under the big tall trees in a comfy den, lived a playful fox. Little Fox raced around the tree trunks in the woods. "Yippee!" he shouted with glee. But then a long black shadow scared him, and he hurried to hide in his den. He was scared of dark shadows, and howling winds, and rain, and most everything. Little Fox liked his comfy den under the big tall trees in the nearby woods. He did not like being afraid. One particularly dark night, a storm rumbled into the forest. Thunder boomed, lightning flashed, rain poured into Little Fox's den. "Oh, no!" Little Fox cried as he scurried through the woods, trying to find somewhere safe and dry and not scary. He barreled inside the farmer's dusty shed, bumped into the rickety shelf, and knocked over the cozy seed packet. Little seed rolled out onto the floor. A surprised Little Fox found himself standing nose to nose with a very unhappy little seed. "I'm Little Fox, and I live in the den under the big tall trees in the nearby woods," he explained. "I love to play in the woods, but I'm afraid of dark shadows and howling winds," he said. "There are no winds or shadows in your shed. Can I live here with you? Will you be my friend?" Little Seed said, "Do you see a pillow? Do you see a bed? Do you see a place to lay your wet head? No, you don't, because this safe place is the farmer's shed." But then Little Seed thought of how safe and warm it was inside the cozy packet on the rickety shelf in the farmer's dusty shed. He thought it might be quite nice to have a friend. Little Fox and Little Seed became the best of friends. Little Seed told silly stories, and Little Fox made funny faces. Each day when the farmer came to the shed, Little Fox hid away. But the farmer was good, and the farmer was kind. And the farmer was always watching over them, even when they didn't know it. One morning, the farmer came into the shed as he had on many days. "Little Seed," he said as he placed him in his hand, "I have a wonderful plan for you. I have waited for just the right time, and today is the day." "Oh, no, please, no, I don't want to go," thought Little Seed. The farmer went outside and knelt down. He pushed Little Seed under the ground, into the dirt, and down to a deep, dark, messy place. "Now, Little Seed, this is going to be different, and it might seem scary, but it will be okay. You can trust me," said the farmer. Little Seed wished he were inside the cozy packet on the rickety shelf in the farmer's dusty shed. "I want to trust, even when I can't see. But how in the world is this good for me?" "Little Seed, come back!" cried Little Fox when he saw the farmer take his friend away. "Where are you, Little Seed?" He looked in the front of the shed and behind the shed, but Little Seed was not there. He looked on top of the tractor and under the tractor, but Little Seed was not there either. He looked under the duck's wings and inside the dog's floppy ears. He looked in the horse's stall, the pig's pen, and even in the farmer's boot, but Little Seed could not be found anywhere. Now Little Fox was really worried. "Little Seed," he shouted, "I'm here, I'm here. Way down in the dirt. I'm scared and I'm lonely, but I'm not hurt," came Little Seed's muffled voice right below him. Little Fox thought hard for something to say or something to do that would help his friend not be scared, but he was afraid too. "It's different and scary to be someplace new, but it will be okay, Little Seed." Little Seed was not so sure, and neither was Little Fox. But the farmer was good, and the farmer was kind. The farmer was always watching over them, even when they didn't know it. Little Fox stayed by Little Seed night after night and day after day. He was scared and lonely too. But after a while, Little Fox started to see how the farmer took care of them. Fresh water for Little Seed, sweet berries for Little Fox. He wasn't even quite so afraid when he saw the dark shadows or heard the howling wind. Little Fox was starting to believe that the farmer was good and the farmer was kind. "My friend," whispered a sleepy little fox to Little Seed, "go to sleep. It will be okay." Little Seed sat in that dark and messy place for what seemed like a very long time. But one spring morning, Little Seed felt a mysterious stirring. He looked down and discovered he was no longer a little seed. He was becoming something brand new, something wonderful. He pushed up through the dark, out of the dirt, and right through the ground. And there, looking sleepy-eyed and surprised, was his friend, Little Fox. Little Fox looked down and saw a beautiful green sprout. "My friend!" they each exclaimed with glee. They were once again nose to nose, and Little Seed told silly stories, and Little Fox made funny faces. After many days of fun, Little Seed said, "Little Fox, look up and see. It's hard to believe what's become of me. From the messy, dark place, I grew and grew from a seed to a tree. Only the farmer knew." Together they made it through the dark and scary time, and together they each learned that the farmer was good, and the farmer was kind, and the farmer was always watching over them, even in dark, messy places. Little Seed was never supposed to just be a seed in a seed packet, and Little Fox was not supposed to be alone and afraid. The seasons came and the seasons went. Little Seed grew into a big, strong tree, and Little Fox raced around his tree trunk, and sometimes Little Fox lay in the tall, cool grass near Little Seed, and the breeze tickled his nose and the sun warmed his belly, and the good and kind farmer was always watching over them. Little Seed liked things to say they were. Little Fox was sometimes afraid. But just as they learn to trust the farmer, we can learn to trust God. We do not need to fear. He has a wonderful plan. God loves you, and He is kind. And in the end, it really will be okay. Trust this truth in the tough things you face, confusing times and the messy, hard place. God loves you, and He is kind. Remember this always in your heart and your mind. It will all be okay, friends. It will all be okay.